This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a good day to be together in this time of worship, whether we are here in the sanctuary or gathering over live stream. We are connected in God's Spirit, and I'm grateful to be with you. I would invite everyone here and everyone who's worshiping online to take a moment and let us know that you're with us by registering your attendance. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row, and if you would pass those down and back again. And once they get back to the center aisle, if you're sitting on the center, if you wouldn't mind tearing out all the sheets that have been filled in and placing them on top. That's a huge help to our volunteers. If you're worshiping online, there's a link on the screen that you can use to let us know that you're here. If you're visiting with us and would like to learn more about our congregation and the ways that we're trying to live out God's love in the world, just share an email address with us or a mailing address, and we'll reach out and get that conversation started. We'll ask you to be in prayer this morning for our youth as they return from their fall retreat. They have spent time together this weekend. The weather's been perfect, and they've had a great time getting closer to God and one another. So we invite you to pray for them as they wrap up that youth retreat together. If you are a college student, we invite you to join us for lunch after this service. If you'll go to the narthex, which is just outside those doors, right after church, there'll be a group of college students gathering, and the lunch is on us here at the church. So we hope that you will gather for that time of fellowship together. I wanted to share an update. Our task force for reopening met this past week on Wednesday, and we are very encouraged by the dropping COVID numbers in our community and by the availability of vaccines now for children ages 5 to 12. And so we have great hopes for the next few weeks. We will continue to monitor the numbers and continue our current practices of wearing masks in worship and so forth, but with hopes that that may soon change if the numbers allow. So keep your eyes open. We have much to celebrate. We have broken our attendance record last week from since COVID started. We had more people in person in worship than we had had since March of 2021. And it's just so exciting to see more and more folks who are able to come out and be here in person. And we would encourage you, if you have no health concerns that you're worried about, to come back to church in person and experience worship and be here for one another, because God is doing things among us and we don't want you to miss out. This Sunday is a long and beautiful tradition in the life of West End United Methodist Church and in the life of the Christian church in general. It is All Saints Sunday, when we name aloud, remember, and celebrate the lives and witness of those who are part of our faith community who have died in this past year. And so we know the Spirit of Christ is among us as we celebrate their lives and their witness. Let us enjoy and open ourselves to this time of worship as we remember God's presence and the communion of the saints.
Thank you. day we remember the great cloud of witnesses. Those who served others with courage and sacrifice. Let us give thanks for the saints of God. Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are, that what we carry, are held within the God of perfect love, who knows us intimately, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion and mercy have no end. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange COVID-safe signs of peace and reconciliation and love. You can fist bump, elbow tap, wave, give a peace sign. And those online, we hope that you are greeting one another with the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you.
Reading from the Gospel. like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth about a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The word of God for the people of God.
If we have any children in the sanctuary this morning, I'd love for you to come join me down here. And if you're watching online, worshiping online, get a little closer to your screen and we'll have a special moment together. I think we may have some coming down from the balcony, so I'm going to take a seat. Thanks, Noah. Don't leave me here by myself. Well, this is a very special... Oh, come on down. We're so glad to see you this morning. This is a really special Sunday. I want to tell you what it's all about today. Come on down, have a seat. Thanks for coming. Glad to see you. So this is a really, really special holiday in the church, and it's been a holiday for a long time, hundreds of years, really. You've heard of Halloween, I bet, right? Yeah, so Halloween is the day when you go out trick-or-treating and all of that, but the word Halloween comes from All Hallows Eve, All Holy, All Saints Eve. The most important day in the church calendar when it comes to this time of year is All Saints Day, the day after Halloween, November 1st. And we celebrate that whenever the next Sunday comes after November 1st. What it means is that we remember all of the wonderful people who were part of our congregation who've died this past year. And we talk about them as saints, extra special holy people. So in a few minutes, we're going to read their names and we're going to light a candle for each one as a way of remembering how they shined their light into the world. And it inspires us to do the same thing. Of course, when somebody dies, it makes us sad and we miss them. One of the things we remember on All Saints Day is that it's also a celebration of their lives and the love of God and that they're in heaven now with God. So let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for all of the people in our congregation, all of the people in our lives whom we have lost this past year. Although we're sad, we know that you are with us and you comfort us. And you also remind us that they have been a blessing to us. And the love they shared with us, we get to pass on to other people. So thank you so much for your love and for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for listening and for being with us on All Saints Day. Surprise! For those of you who might be worshiping with us for the first time, I usually preach down there on the floor from the center. But on All Saints Sunday, for whatever reason, I like to preach from the pulpit. I feel led to stand in this place. Maybe it's to help our candles and our lights be at the center of our focus. Maybe it's to remind me this is where I stand when I lead a service of resurrection and memorial service. Or maybe it's because one of the saints we're recognizing today is Bill Miller, who always wanted me to preach from the pulpit. I remember after I'd been here for a little while, he texted me one Sunday afternoon and said, "Boy, that was a good sermon today." And then I saw the three dots. Would have been better in the pulpit. So in honor of you, Bill, in honor of all our saints, here we all are this morning. And we've heard our gospel reading this morning that invites us into the temple to sit down with Jesus and his disciples in the middle of a very busy place in the temple. Jesus and his disciples are sitting in the area called the treasury. Now, there are a couple of different places this might have been, but probably was in the court of the women, where there were 13 receptacles to receive the temple tax and to receive people's offerings. These receptacles had these trumpets on them. And so when a person put a coin in them, or many coins, it would make a lot of noise. The more coins you put in, the more noise you make. Clang, 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 clang. And so those who were very wealthy and bringing large gifts made a lot of noise. Whether they meant to or not, it was noticed and seen. So there Jesus sits with his disciples among all of this noise and all of this activity. And he points out to them one woman who's making her gift and who's not making a lot of noise because her gift is so small. She is a poor widow, Mark tells us. Widows who were poor in Jesus' day were on the lowest rung of society, usually dependent on the charity of others. And yet she has made her way into the temple and is making her gift, which consists of two little bitty copper coins, the very smallest coins in all of Jerusalem. And so you can imagine, in and amongst all of the gifts of the others who are giving, her gift makes no sound at all. It goes unnoticed, except by Jesus. And if Jesus hadn't been there, perhaps no one would have noticed. But I find myself wondering, what is it that Jesus is trying to point out? What's the point that Jesus is making in pointing out this poor widow as she makes her offering? On the one hand, it could be pure and simple. He just wants to show her generosity. He wants his disciples to see what nobody else seems to be seeing, her extravagant generosity, and to make the point that in the kingdom of God, it's not the size of the gift that matters. It is the spirit and the heart with which it is given. In the kingdom of God, the Excel spreadsheets and the accounting practices don't play. What matters is the love behind the gift and the intention behind the gift. So on the one hand, this story is a great lesson in generosity. It's all about giving from the heart. It doesn't matter the size of the gift. So maybe that's Jesus' point. But it could also be that Jesus is making another point. Could it be that Jesus is actually trying to expose the hypocrisy and the corruption of the temple system? Just before he points out the poor widow, he makes the point to beware of the scribes and Pharisees who are really caught up in their own flowing robes and their own status and power, these scribes who devour widows' houses. What does he mean by that? That there are times when the scribes take advantage of these poor widows who exploit them in their position that they're in for their own gain. And not only that, when Jesus points out her gift, he says not only is it a generous gift, it's everything she had to live on. Surely that's not right. Surely God would never ask someone to give up everything they have to live on. Surely the faith community should be supporting and undergirding a woman like this, not taking the last penny she has to keep the institution going. So which is it? Do we read this story and see it as an inspiring example of generosity? Or do we read this story and see it as a disheartening corruption of an unjust system? Well, if we look at it just as an exposure of a corrupt system, then perhaps we fail to appreciate the generosity of this woman. We undermine her gift. She who is in good faith, out of love for her God, bringing her very best, offering all she has out of love for God. Maybe we diminish the beauty of that act if all we talk about is the corruption of the institution. But then if we just talk about the generosity and how sweet it is, are we letting the scribes off the hook? Are we failing to acknowledge the exploitation that's underneath this system? Well, as often the case, maybe both things are true. Yes, maybe many of the scribes are hypocritical and greedy and power hungry. Yes, maybe they are perpetuating a system that exploits the faith of other people to keep their pockets lined. Yes, maybe the temple is an imperfect place. But maybe also, this woman is bringing in her offering as an act of courage and faith, nevertheless. Her example makes me think of a woman that I heard about this week. I hadn't heard her story until just a few days ago. Her name is Reverend Ratona Stokes Robinson. Maybe you've heard of her. She's been in the news a little bit recently. She was appointed to serve a church in New Jersey in another denomination. And the congregation did not want to have a woman pastor. And so they locked her out and didn't give her a key. And they refused to pay her. She was supposed to start on the 1st of July, and yet she was locked out of the building. And so Reverend Stokes Robinson made the choice every week to study the scriptures, to pray, to compose a sermon, and to stand out on the sidewalk of the locked church and preach anyway, with just her husband to hear her. And she did it week after week after week through July and August and September, until finally, October 24th, there was a delegation from the denomination of women in ministry who had come to hear her preach at her church for the first time, only to find her standing outside a locked door. And they told the bishop. And they told the world, and her story went viral. And the next Sunday, the bishop came and made sure that the doors were unlocked and told that congregation to pay her the back pay that they owed and to open themselves to the possibility that God might speak through her. And so last Sunday was the very first time Ratona Stokes Robinson preached from that pulpit. I am inspired by her courage and her faithfulness. Preaching a little sermon that nobody else heard but her husband, week after week, in faithfulness because of her love for God and her commitment to the kingdom of God and her belief that she was called to preach the word of God. Regardless of the rejection of the institution, regardless of the motives of the people who locked her out, she wanted to be their pastor anyway. As I look at this name, these names of all of the saints whose lives we celebrate today, I think about the many ways, the quiet, unseen, unnoticed ways that all of them lived out their calling, shared the love of God, showed extravagant generosity, noticed the needs of others. Even when they met resistance, even when they were perhaps part of an institution or part of something that was failing, they gave of their best anyway. I think about George Kate, who served as a delegate to annual conference and to general conference in the United Methodist Church, faithfully serving the denomination, even though the denomination is messy and imperfect, giving of himself. I think of Dr. Sam Marney and Dr. Michael Reed, who no doubt had patients who resisted their care, who didn't follow their advice, who maybe found themselves in institutions that didn't always go in directions they agreed with, but they continued to offer healing and care day after day because that's what they were called to do. All of these saints, no doubt, had moments like that widow in the temple, generosity that went unnoticed, and yet they offered it anyway. All of these saints died in the middle of a pandemic, in a time of great turmoil, when it looked like maybe the world was turning in directions they weren't happy about, and yet they kept the faith, and they kept doing what they were called to do, trusting that there are those of us coming right behind them who will keep the faith, keep the light shining. So I think of them, and I think of Reverend Stokes Robinson, and I think of the poor widow in the temple, and I'm inspired. I'm inspired to do what work I can do to make sure the institutions I'm a part of are just and equitable and inclusive. I'm inspired to continue examining myself to make sure I'm not so enamored with my long robes and the position I hold. I'm inspired to continue offering with extravagant generosity all that I have and all that I can to help build God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Let us continue the work and the faith and the courage of these saints who go before us, that this world might look more like the kingdom of heaven. Amen.
I now invite you to rise in body or spirit as we join our voices together to affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed, this historic faith confession that saints for countless generations have recited together. You can find it on 881 in the United Methodist Hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share your prayer concerns with the pastoral team so that we might pray for them throughout the week, if you are worshiping with us online, or even if you're in person and you would prefer to use the internet to share your prayer concerns, you may go to our website and find the tab Contact Us, and you will find a place where you may leave prayer concerns there. If you're worshiping with us in the sanctuary, though, you may also find a gray card in the pew racks in front of you, and you can place prayer concerns on those and leave them in the offering boxes that are located in the narthex and in Reed Hall as you leave the service today. It is our joy to celebrate two births this morning, as represented by these two beautiful roses here on our altar table. First, we celebrate the birth of Jeffrey McClellan Mack Snyder, Jr., who was born October 20th to Jeff and Ann Clark Snyder. He is welcomed also by his big sister, Ann Blair Snyder, and grandparents Karen and Mac Perkle. We also celebrate the birth of Laura Lee Riley, who was born on November 3rd to Robert and Lindsay Riley. She is welcomed also by her big sisters, Sally Ann and Carolyn Riley, grandparents Rob and Laura Riley, and her aunt, uncle, and cousin, Carolyn, Matt, and Ruth Von Lunen. This morning, our prayers of sympathy are with J.L. Nave and Paul Cook, who are mourning the death of Paul's mother, Linda Reynolds. Services were held on Friday, November 5th, in Chapel Hill, Tennessee. Also, yesterday, we were extremely saddened to learn of the sudden death of our dear friend Jackie Sojourner. Jackie was a retired elder in the United Methodist Church, an affiliate member here at West End United Methodist, and she was West End's church archivist, so we will really miss her knowledge and wisdom. We are still learning details, and we will share more as we have them. And Jackie will be our first saint to be named next year on All Saints Sunday. Now let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church. Most merciful God, we humbly beseech thee to receive these our prayers for the universal church, that thou wilt confirm it in the truth of thy holy faith, inspire it with unity and concord, and extend and prosper it throughout the world. We beseech thee also so to guide and strengthen the witness of the church to those in authority in all nations, that they may maintain the justice and welfare of all people. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all ministers of thy church, that both by their life and their doctrine they may set forth thy true and lively word and faithfully administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, that with willing heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their lives. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to support and strengthen all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity.
O Lord, we remember with thanksgiving those who have loved and served thee in thy church on earth, who now rest from their labors, especially those most dear to us, whom we name before thee. Dorothy Wynne Biasi. Benjamin MacArthur Wade. Annette Dickinson Jane Pappas. George Harrison Kate Jr. Dorothy Boren Smith. Roland Leon Wall. Samuel Rowe Marney Jr. Alice Marie Gothard McClary. Orion Price Taylor. Elizabeth Henderson Wheeler. Sue Ann Collins Miller. William Otis Green III. Michael Christopher Reed. William Earl Gray Jr. Edith Smith Motes. Mary Emily Satterfield Blackburn. Nona Fort Smiley. Thomas William Estes Jr. Beth Johnson Allen. Martha Frank Clark. And Glenna Dimple Franks. Keep us in fellowship with all thy saints, and bring us at last with them to the joy of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Lord, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our mediator, advocate, and Savior. Amen.
As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we simply invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the chat or on the screen. And for those of you worshiping in person, you may leave donations in the offering box located in the narthex and also in Reed Hall as you leave the service this morning. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God who loves us unconditionally. Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, God of the ages, creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of the priests and of the prophets, God of Mary and Joseph, God of the apostles and the martyrs, God of our mothers and our fathers and of our children to all generations. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you and broke the bread, and then gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all glory and honor are yours, loving God, now and forever. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Body of Christ, is broken and given in love to you and to me and to all the world. The cup of salvation, Christ's life poured into your life and my life for the life of the world. The table is set. The host of this table is Jesus Christ himself, and all are welcome at this table. All who are here, all who are not here, are welcome at this table, and you have a place here. We are coming forward in a way that will feel a little bit more familiar, a little bit more like it used to. We will invite you to come forward if you feel comfortable doing so and receive a communion packet here at the front. These are gluten-free. They're individually packaged. The wafers at the bottom, and open that first, and then the juice at the top. You may take that to the altar rails and open and receive there at the altar rails, or if you prefer, you can return to your seats and receive communion there. I'll also be making my way around the sanctuary. If you are uncomfortable coming forward or unable to come forward, I'll serve you in your seat. We do ask that the receptacles at the end of the row, if you receive in your seat, that you place the cups there. And if you receive at the altar rail, you can leave the cups at the altar rail upon leaving. We will invite the transepts in the balcony to come forward first, and then Brandon will be making his way and guiding each row to come forward as there's room at the altar rail. I think for many of us, it is a blessing and a gift to be able to receive communion once again at the altar rails. As you come forward, if you feel led to give a gift to the missions of the church, our mission for the month is Room in the Inn. Each winter, we provide food and hospitality to 14 men every Wednesday night, and your funds will help to support the food when we don't have a class or a small group to provide it, and it'll help provide clothing and other needs for our friends who are currently living on the streets. So as those who have been blessed, may we bless others as we come forward, and may we come to this table to receive the grace that is offered to us and to all. Let us rise in body or in spirit to give thanks for the grace we have received. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with faith and perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, and in him may we find deep and abiding peace. Amen.